Hello and welcome to the Oklahoma Beat. My name is Evan McDaniel, joined by Caleb McDaniel.
What's up, guys?
It's been a while. Like, it actually has. It's been a while for us. We haven't podcasted in a while. We were thinking about it. We were always talking about if we're going to make a comeback or not. Will we come back with a podcast? And we did it.
We did it.
We're here.
It took months and months of
agonizing pain.
Learning how to not be cringy and
trying learning not to how be to cringy.
Have a topic without sounding like a robot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Today is the Thunder Tradapalooza offseason podcast because
extravaganza.
Because we lost to the Rockets and now we're sad. So
we're in our feels, and you know what that means? That means get back to the trade machine, right, Evan?
Yeah, so now we both came up with off-season ideas where we didn't tell each other what they were. We planned out a whole off-season, and we're probably going to go through it, probably one by one, so it makes it easier for you guys to listen to, because you're not going to have to go back and forth between us. But, yeah, we did our own little off-season things, and I guess we'll get into it.
All right. Would you like to start us off, Evan?
I can.
You can?
Okay, so my first trade comes right after the Boston Celtics win the championship.
You all know the Heat's going to win, Evan. Come on.
Anyway, it comes right after that. Comes after the championship. We trade Dennis Schroeder for Corey Joseph and a 2023 first-round pick to the Kings. Why, you may ask. Why the fuck would we do this, you may ask? We get a first-round pick in 2023, which could be the double draft year, so it's always good. And the Kings have never been good. They've been out of the lottery for the past 9 years.
Injection. Why would they want to do this if they have Fox?
This is where I'm beating to.
Okay.
The Kings do not have a bench. I mean, they do, because it's Buddy Hield, and they want to get rid of him. So, us trading Dennis Schroeder to them allows them to have a good point guard off their bench, because Corey Joseph, he's not all that, and he has a 2-year deal worth $13 million. That's not really the greatest for them, especially if they want to try being players in free agency, even though Sacramento, not really that many people want to go there.
That kind of reminds me of that Phoenix deal, where you would send Dennis for Kelly Oubre in like the 10th pick or Cameron Johnson. They would get like a solid backup point guard. But I think if we were to trade Dennis, we would be respectful and trade him to like a contender, in my opinion.
Maybe, but I do think the Kings are really eyeing a backup point guard. There's rumors that they're coming out for a point guard in the draft this year. And everyone thought they were going to take a big, which was kind of confusing. Because why would they take a big when they just
took Bagley,
and they have 3,000 centers on their roster. Yeah. So they really could use some guard help, though. Point guard help, because Corey Joseph is not all that. So that's my first trade. My second trade comes at the NBA draft. Dun, dun, dun. Oklahoma City Thunder have traded Chris Paul to the Knicks for the 8th pick, Wayne Ellington, Taj Gibson, and Julius Randle. Sounds like a lot.
Holy.
But we get the 8th pick in the draft. I don't know who we pick. We'll get into that in a different episode. It's a whole different conversation. But the 8th pick is definitely a good enough asset for the Thunder to be like, you know what, that's a good enough deal. Let's pull the trigger. And it's something that the Knicks could offer up, especially because Leon Rose is the GM of the Knicks now. And he used to be Chris Paul's agent. And they just hired Tom Thibodeau, who is going to want to be a contender.
If we did that trade, we would have to buy out Taj Gibson.
We'd probably buy out Taj Gibson. I think we'd probably keep the other two.
Because you're taking four for one. And it'd be kind of, just adds a lot of people to the roster.
Yeah, you could also give them Abdel Nader, or their pick of Abdel Nader, Mike Muscala, and Hami, whichever one they like the best.
Because I don't think kind of sweets it because he's kind of young still.
Yeah, but I don't know if they really care about youngness if they're trying to contend. So whichever one they think could help them next year, they can have. I don't really care because the trade still works with them. So after that trade, I have one more for us. and it comes to the hands of the Pacers during free agency, where we sign and trade Gallinari to the Pacers for Jeremy Lamb, Doug McDermott, and a 2021 first round pick. I think this is the most balanced trade I've made today.
Wait, of what pick?
The 2021 first round pick for the Pacers next year.
That's pretty solid.
We get a pick in the 2021 draft, which is going to be one of the most loaded drafts we've seen since like 2014 or maybe 2017. Whatever you want to say is more loaded. And then we get Jeremy Lamb, who is on a 2-year, $10 million deal. Bring Jeremy Lamb back to OKC because, you know, he did so great last time he was here. And we get Dougie McBuckets.
We get two ex-Thunder players and a 2021 first-round pick.
Yeah, for Gallo. Sign trade, you can't get that much value off a sign trade. But
yeah, but that's pretty good value if you're going to get a 2021 pick.
Yeah, you get that. So basically our roster would be, but not counting the pick, would be Shea at point guard, Dort at shooting guard, Jeremy Lamb at small forward, Bazley at power forward, and Adams at center. I really do think we'll keep Adams, though. I know you might have a trade that is with Adams in it, but me personally, I think that we're going to get rid of him. Well, we're going to keep him and get rid of him after free agency. After becoming a free agent.
You think we're just going to walk?
Yeah. And then our backups would be Corjo, Diallo, Ellington, McDermott, and Randall.
Okay. That's pretty solid, Evan.
We'll see what you got.
I mean, that would definitely let us tank.
Yeah, we're not a good team in that.
And how many firsts do we acquire? We get
three. So I think that's pretty good. Three. Offseason where you get three first-round picks, mm-hmm. where you already have 17 million first-round picks. Adding those extra three is just a...
20 first-round picks. Yeah, something like that. All right. My future OKC extravaganza. let's hear it, Bryce. All right. So, with the first trade, we get Nicholas Batum, a 2022 first-round pick for Steven Adams. They're gonna draft LaMelo Ball more likely. They have Devontae Graham. They're gonna want a center to go pair along, and we all know Adams can like catch lobs and he's pretty good with a good passer like LaMelo. So I think that just makes sense for both teams. Anyways, I don't know if we could do the 2022 first round pick. I think we'd have to do a 2024 or something.
I think if you did the 2022, you have to do a very protect. You probably have to do a lottery protected that turns into 2 seconds. Because I don't think Steven Adams really doesn't have that much value right now. And I mean, sure, he has more than Nicholas Batum does. So you have to get some value back. But it's not a huge, like the biggest difference in the world. But he does have more value for Oklahoma City than he would. So maybe you can be like, well, this guy means a lot to our culture. So you're going to have to pay a little bit more.
Yeah, he's a good locker room guy. I mean, he gives...
I think the Hornets said that they're trying to go for Serge Ibaka this offseason. So if they end up getting him, then they might not end up wanting Adams. But
yeah, but if they did go after Serge, they could run him out the power forward and they could have Adams.
I don't think Serge is going to be able to play power forward now. Bring back the old...
I mean, he'd be like a stretch forward for them. I don't know. Maybe. Anyways, my second trade. It would be Mike Conley, the 2022nd first round and the 2024 first round for Chris Paul.
So Chris Paul to the Jazz.
Yeah, for 2 picks. And an expiring deal. I mean, that's all.
What are your thoughts on Mike Conley right now? Do you think he's a helpful player?
He's not a...
Do you think he could be a piece on a championship team?
On a championship team? Yeah. But he definitely would have made the Jazz win that series if he got back from his birth quicker.
Go back from his birth.
Not his birth, his wife's birth. No, but he's definitely...
Wife's birth.
What?
The birth of their child. There we go.
The birth of their child, if he got back from it sooner.
Yeah.
He would have definitely risen that Jazz team above the Denver Nuggets, I believe.
I mean, he did get back in, game 2 or 3? He didn't miss that many games. I think he might have came back game 3. Missed game 1 or 2.
All I know is he was out. All right, and he's a good veteran player, and he don't know. He's just he could be a starting caliber player, like for a championship team like the Lakers, definitely. All right, on to my next trade. It's a 3-team trade, something I don't think Presti will ever do. We get Rodney Magruder, Zubac, and Rodians Krux. He's a random guy, bench player from
Rodians Krux.
Yeah.
From the Nets.
Yeah. And then the Nets get, it's a sign and trade for Danilo Gallinari, and then the Clippers get Spencer Dinwiddie. Oh my god. I think this makes perfect sense for everybody. The Nets get a power forward that's able to shoot the ball and space the floor out, and then the Clippers get a starting point guard because Patrick Beverley is not all that. And then we get some bad players that won't really help us win. We get Zubac, that's a young player, and Rodians is a young player too. So
I think I like the deal for the Clippers the best. Wait, who do they give up?
They give up Rodney Magruder and Ivan Zubac.
Okay, Zubac worth. Well, they already have Harrell, but he does come off the bench.
He's a free agent, but I'm guessing they'll re-sign him.
I could see it happening. Especially if the Nets end up not wanting to pay Joe Harris $17 million or whatever he's asking for a year. That seems like a better option for that money, because you could probably just give Gallo that amount, and you might rather have Gallo than Joe Harris. And you probably, their value is pretty similar right now, but
yeah,
it just depends on, wait, how much money would
Gallo make? Trade? It would be like a 3-year $16 million, well, almost 17.
It's like a 3-year $50 million deal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I can see that.
Okay, the next trade. It's between the Thunder and Lakers. The Thunder receive Danny Green, Talen Horton-Tucker, and the 2022 first-round pick. The Lakers receive Dennis Schroeder. I think this makes sense for both teams. I mean, Dennis brings that third guy who can get a bucket. And we get a young player, Danny Green, which I think we'd just end up either trading or buying out, and a first-round pick in 2022, which
is always good. Can they trade their 2022? Because I thought they traded their 2023 and 4.
They have their 2021, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know about their 2023.
I'll just check.
But if not, we can always go for the 2020 pick.
I feel like they've been weird lately. Like, because they traded so much picks for Anthony Davis. It was almost as big of a trade package as what we got for Paul George. So I don't know if they have that pick available. If they do, then I think OKC would pull the trigger. Even though it's probably not the greatest pick, it'll probably be in the 20s or something.
Yeah, but you do get Talen Horton-Tucker. Which is,
I don't know if Talen Horton-Tucker is the guy you're like 20, looking for.
He's 20. He's playing in the second round of the playoffs.
I feel like that has more to do with
his team around him. But, I mean, he still averages 5 points and 3 rebounds as a 20-year-old.
They don't have very many wing players there.
He's proven he can play. Lakers fans are really high on him, from what I've seen on my Twitter line.
Yeah.
Well, that was my... Oh, wait. The starting lineup would be Shea, THT, Dort, Baze, and Zubac. Listen, that's a really young starting lineup, and that would be pretty fun to watch, just to see what they could put together and how they would
Wait, did work. You say you have Horton-Tucker starting?
Yes.
Over Dort?
No, Dort's at the three.
What
is it's that? It goes Shea at the point guard, Horton at the... Why do I call him by his middle name? Talen Horton-Tucker. Wait, no, that's his second last name. Oh my gosh, I'm messing up right now. His first last name. THT at the at the shooting guard. Dort at the three. Baze at the four. And Zubac at the five. So, that gives us...
Wait, who else do we get from the first couple trades?
Conley, Magruder, Batum,
Batum probably starts over.
Batum, he only averages 3 points.
Yeah, but he's just like a veteran. Veteran shooting guard.
I'd rather have him come off the bench. Same with Conley and Danny Green. They don't get traded. Or...
I don't know. It's weird because you would think because Billy, which we should probably talk about because he did end up leaving the team this week, but he did really have like a fascination with Diallo. I don't know if that's because Diallo is actually like good in practice or something, or
he did average like 7 and 5, right?
Yeah, but he's like, I don't really know if it's just a Billy thing or if it's gonna be a Thunder thing to play Diallo. Because if it's a Thunder thing, like if it's ingrained in Thunder culture that you have to play Diallo, you have to play Ferg, you have to play those guys, then probably one of them starts before Tucker, because I just think they're better players than him at this moment. That's not saying much. It really just isn't. Unless, like, wanted to start Rodney Magruder or something at small forward.
I mean, Diallo does bring that culture of grinding and hustle. And...
yeah, like,
I mean, he brings...
Oh, yeah!
Okay. I'm just going to have to...
I was just thinking of the grinding culture.
Just gonna have to cancel you. If everybody could see what Evan just did, that was pretty weird. He did a whole like dance culture move while sitting. Oh
my god. Grinding culture.
So top news of the week for the Thunder. Billy Donovan is now not a coach of us.
Yeah, where do you think he's gonna end up?
He's gonna end up on the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's your guess. Billy to Philly?
Yeah, especially if they don't trade Horford. I mean, just kind of like a perfect fit on the East Coast. He's an East Coast guy.
Is Billy that much of a difference than Brett Brown?
He'll be able to hold the team together better.
I don't know. I feel like he's going to end up going to either the Bulls or he's going to go to like the Pelicans.
What do you think about the Pacers?
That could be an interesting team for Billy to coach at, because they do have a decent team that would be contending, and obviously he wants to contend. That's why he didn't want to come back, because the Thunder did offer him like a 2-year deal or something. I don't know how much the salary was.
He gets to re-coach Domantas Sabonis, McBuckets, unless your trades go down.
Yeah, you get to be part of a winning culture, which is probably pretty important to him. And then, I don't know, I feel like it's either going to be Bulls. Pacers are, more to think about, that just makes sense. But I think the Bulls also make some sense, because they probably just want a coach that's not mentally unstable, like Jim Boylan. And the Pelicans probably want a coach that isn't the same thing, because Alvin Gentry was not the greatest coach. Especially when it came to Zion in the playoffs, which I think might have been a little bit of like a upper staff thing, but
yeah, and he would call timeouts when the Pelicans were on fast breaks.
Basically, to wrap it up, Alvin Gentry is not a good coach.
Not at all. All right, Evan, how would you feel about taking on Horford for Matisse Thybulle? I mean, like taking on his contract to get Thybulle or maybe like Zaire Smith.
And this isn't a Chris Paul deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but I don't really know if you need Thybulle, because you already have Dort, and they're basically the same player, in my opinion. They're like, maybe Thybulle's a little bit more gifted offensively, but then you think Dort has better handles and he attacks the basket a little bit more. So, I mean, they're kind of pretty similar players. I don't know if they're like the greatest for us, for a Thunder.
But listen, okay, imagine you're going against, like, the Clippers, and you need two defenders instead of one, because you got to worry about two offensive threats in Kawhi or PG. You have two players that could guard him. Like, yeah, that's so valuable.
But then you're giving their worst defenders someone to guard as well.
Yeah, but if Thybulle... he's shown glimpses of being able to hit three. And if he could get consistent, he could be like a Robert Covington type player where he can play pretty well defense.
I mean, I like him. I just think I'd rather, instead of getting Thibault, I'd rather just get, like, who we were talking about earlier, Zaire Smith, and then get, like, either one or two first. I think Thibault takes away from the overall amount of value you can get in a deal, because I think that the Pacers, not Pacers, the Philly, will, they just have more value in him than... Than we would in the trade.
If they really wanted CP3, scare money don't make none. All right, that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but then I got Sam Presti.
But they got... I don't remember what their name's name, but...
They got him.
Yeah, they got him. And they also got...
They got the other guy.
Okay, but their chances of getting, like, Billy Donovan, if they do trade for, like, CP3, are way higher. So, and that's a good hire. I feel like that would be a good hire for them.
I mean, it could be.
Especially if they got CP3.
If Billy doesn't have the same problems that he had with us.
That brings a whole new leadership in. A whole new, like, they need leadership with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And I think that would... why are we talking about this? We're talking about Thibault and Horford. Anyway, I'm just saying I'd be willing to take on Horford for Thibault and... A first.
Yeah, but would you rather get Thibault in a first?
I'd rather have Thibault.
Or would you rather
Zaire
get
in a first?
Or would you rather get Zaire and then like an unprotected first, and then maybe a protected first? Because I feel like maybe Presti would value the unprotected and the and a protected first more than just Thibault and a protected first. Plus, you're getting Zaire Smith in the other version.
Yeah, but the thing is, you never know if you're gonna hit in the draft. You never know. Like, he's proven to be a really good defender.
Scared pigs don't make none. What I'm just saying. Scared pigs don't make none, okay?
I do trust Presti with my whole... everything I have.
Yeah, I'll give him... I mean, I trust him most of the time. I get really, like, queasy about his later draft picks... Like, his late round picks, because I feel like he just goes for that model player that he had, which was just Diallo, Ferguson, Josh Eustis. Like, he went for, like, this stretch where he only went with those kind of guys. Right after he drafted Abrines, he went, like, okay, now it's time to just draft only athletic people, because I drafted one shooter. Like, I feel like that's what it was like for a little bit.
He did it with Baisley, though, and Dort. No, he
drafted. I mean, he did really good last time with Baisley, because I think we can all agree, Baisley was like, if he wasn't the best rookie in the bubble, because you have Tyler Hero, but he was a top five rookie in the bubble, stat-wise. I mean, obviously you can
Yeah, you have the John Morants.
If you look at value added per minutes, and he's the highest one up there. And Dort is surprisingly pretty low for his minutes added, but that's just because... the lineups with Dort on the floor were the lineups going against James Harden.
He's like the ultimate stretch five in this league, and it's where the league's heading towards, so.
Yeah, I don't even know if Baisley ends up playing the five. I think he just was doing that mostly because it was Houston. I think he probably has a better chance of playing small forward. But he'd be a big small forward. So I think power forward is where he's going to end up being.
Just the way, like, the league's heading, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. But I could see the lead heading back to, like, a big man thing.
Maybe. Because there's Wiseman and players like Joel Embiid and Kat. And...
Like, I feel like if you're a big man who's like who can also dominate in the post and shoot, that's what is kind of, like, doing good. Like, yeah, you got Bam, who's a little bit quicker, but he can't really shoot that well.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably can shoot. He just doesn't shoot. And then you have... There's another guy who's kind of like Bam, who attacks a lot.
Aiden?
Aiden, who's not that much of a shooter.
Attacks the basket. You're talking about, like, Lewis Canner. Like solely attacking the basket.
Yeah, you got, like, Clint Capella, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's still, even though we want to say that the new prototypical five is, like, P.J. Tucker. It's really not P.J. Tucker yet.
You do need that solid rebounder.
I think you do need to have a big that can either shoot the ball Or they have to be, like...
They have to be able
if
to
they're
step
not,
out.
If they're not the best shooter, they have to be able to be a really, really effective rebounder.
On a level and a lob throw at any second.
Yeah, Tor, it's not a disadvantage to not... Tor, it's not a disadvantage to have them on the floor. You have to have an advantage.
I see where you come from.
So, you can't just be like... That's what the problem with Steven Adams was against Houston. The whole problem was because he was a disadvantage because he wasn't doing his rebounding good enough. Sure, he averaged 12 rebounds. Cool. Good job, Steven. Let me give you a round of applause for averaging 12 rebounds against PJ Tucker, who's 6'5". Good job, buddy. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to.
Yeah.
He should have been averaging 14, 15 rebounds. But
I mean, for $25 million, put me in there. I'm hustling for every board. I'm jumping on the ground.
And that's why Steven's value is down right now. And I love Steven to death. He's a ride or die. Love the Kiwi. I love his freaking steak commercials. I love everything about him. I love his hair. But when it comes to play-wise, he just wasn't it this year. And he hasn't been it for the last couple years. We've seen stretches where we see, like, Adams be more confident in his shot. And he takes shots more for, like, the first 5 minutes of a game. And then
He's definitely a lot better with, like, Russell Westbrook. Because him and Russ would run those plays where Russ would throw it up and he would just cock it back and slam it in for the alley-oop. Like, Russ definitely made him into a better center. He fits along with a guard who can pass well.
And, who's, like, a deadly three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Or someone who attacks the basket, like, every play.
So that's why I'm thinking Charlotte's a good fit. Cause...
Which, I mean, he was good with CP3 in the regular season. Like, don't get me wrong. He probably would have been good against any other team other than Houston in the playoffs this year. It's just the fact that he can be a liability makes him, like, a bigger liability than he can be. I don't know if that made any sense at all. But the fact that there's teams that are specifically playing to outplay you on that end of the floor.
Yeah, like, he's easy to target to, like, take out of the game if a team really wants to.
Get screens.
Yeah.
Takes him out of the game. I mean, that's why I don't think that someone would end up wanting to trade for him this offseason. I just think he's going to have to be with the Thunder this year. Which, I mean, a lot of Thunder fans, a lot of you guys listening to the podcast right now, probably love Steven. You're probably mad at me right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But... like, I do think he's going to be on the team next year, so that's a good thing for you. Another year of the Kiwi.
I think he's going to end up on Golden State after next year. That's, like, a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, in my opinion. Surrounded by shooters was a good thing.
Surrounded by shooters, great
passers. Who don't really attack that much.
Don't need him to score, like, 10 a night. Yeah. Like, he could literally score 5 and just focus on
rebounds. Great offensive rebounder, so that's like, a perfect system for Steven. Because if he isn't forced to be offense or have to be the guy to guard the other person's center.
They do run a lot of screens too, and he's the best screener in the league. So.
Yeah, Golden State is perfect, but Golden State is perfect for a lot of people, but that's just because of the play style. He just needs to go to a team like the Hawks could use him, but they got Clint, which is basically the same player as Steven, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And then you got other teams that are like it. So I'm sure he could find a landing spot after next year. I just don't think this offseason there's going to be anything for him.
Unless somehow we magically pull out a trade for, like, Adams and Schroeder for Wiggins, the second pick, and whatever.
That would be a Presti match.
That would be a Presti pick. I mean, a Presti trade, but that's the only way I see him leaving. Unless it's, like, a Batum trade, because... 3 points for 10 points and 10 rebounds doesn't sound like a bad deal.
Okay, so let's say theoretically my trades happen and you get the 8th pick overall. Who would you, out of right now? I don't want to hear like every draft analysis of everybody, but like who would be the person you would want at 8? Like, who do you think would be available?
Sadiq Bey, 100%.
You'd want to go up that high on Sadiq
Bey. Yes, he is the steal of the draft, Evan. He is the perfect 3-and-D player. The person Presti wanted the most the past 4 years.
But he's kind of just Bazley.
He's smaller.
He's kind of just Bazley, but less offensively gifted.
He's like Bazley at the small forward. He shoots 40% from three. He's a moving 3-point shooter. Like, it's not like he's just sitting there shooting them. Like,
yeah, but he isn't the greatest attacker. He isn't.
He's not the greatest, but he's pretty athletic and he can get some dunks. I've seen his highlight reels.
I mean, I like him. I just don't know.
Pretty fire.
8 is what we would go for. I think if you have any of the centers available at that point, you take them.
Yeah, so definitely have Kongwu.
If you have a Kongwu, Wiseman, Toppin available, maybe. But he's a little bit older. But he's the same age as Shea, so maybe Presti is like, that's fine. He's 22 or 23, whatever he is right now. I feel like that'd be fine. Like, he'd probably just be like, it's worth it because he's a 3-point shooter big. So,
yeah.
I don't know. My pick would be a Kongwu. I just think he fits so good with Shea.
Or
fit with him with Shea is just so good.
Or Hayes.
Yeah, I do think Detroit will take Hayes, though. So, I don't think he'd be available at 8. Like, I think if he's available at 7, Detroit will take him. Unless, like, somehow LaMelo or something fell down, but that's... Seems like
baseball. LaMelo's going to Charlotte. There's no way.
Yeah.
Unless Michael Jordan's like, nope.
Unless Warriors are like, oh, let's take a little... They just end up picking him.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to take... I think they just take the best available. Yeah. Like, if Edwards is available at number 2, I don't know how that would happen. If the Timberwolves are really high on a guy. But if they got Edwards on the Warriors, that would make them probably the top favorites. Wouldn't you say?
I mean, yeah, but that just makes me upset. Think, look, you, because I don't really like watching. I mean, the Warriors are fun to watch, and I do kind of miss them this year because, like, their style of play is fun to watch, even though you hate them with all your guts.
Yeah, but do you hate them without KD? Like, I feel like.
I mean, I still do. We did lose to that team.
We did lose that team, but... And it's...
I mean, I don't hate it as much as, like, I hate Portland or something, but...
It's easier for me to watch and not really hate them that much this year. Well, we didn't really get to watch them that much this year, considering they didn't make the playoffs or the bubble.
Yeah, and they weren't that fun to watch.
Yeah, we didn't get any TV time.
Well, welcome to the Warriors podcast.
Welcome to the Warriors podcast. We've probably mentioned them more than the Thunder.
Sorry about that.
All right, some CP3 landing spots. You want to talk about that?
You just want to list off a few that you think he could land, like teams? Yeah. Like, what are the teams that came out that said that, I think it was like a Scoop B report or something.
I think it's
they're interested.
The Jazz, the Suns, the Knicks, the 76ers,
Mavericks.
The Bucks, and the Mavericks. And...
Was there one more? I feel like... Wait, was that 6 teams? Bucks, Mavs.
I thought there were... Suns, there might have been 7. Six. I'm not sure. The Lakers? Were they part of...
They could want him all they want. They're not going to get him.
Yeah, it's impossible. Unless Presti's like, you know, CP3. We really respect
We're
going to
trade
you
for LeBron James.
Maybe Anthony... No, I'm just kidding.
Anthony Davis.
Bro, okay, hear me out. No, there's no way that's even possible. I was about to say, like, Anthony Davis.
Anthony
CP3
Davis
for Gallo.
CP3, Gallo, Steven Adams. LeBron James for our team. LeBron James and Anthony Davis for our team.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone except for Beasley, because I want to keep him for fun.
Whose jersey you're buying next season?
Kate Cunningham at the end of the year.
Okay, we're supposed to be talking about CP3 trading spots. All right.
Yeah.
I don't see the Mavericks happening.
If it did, it'd be like a weird 3-team thing.
Yeah, we would need it. Every like.
Plus, I just don't like the fit with him with Luka. I just really don't. I think Luka just needs the ball. Luka just needs the ball in his hands in order to thrive. And I feel like that's what we were trying to see with Shea, like. I feel like that's why a lot of people are happy.
That's why he's a good fit with Shea, because Shea doesn't... He's a good second, third option. You know, he doesn't need the ball.
Yeah, but we don't know what Shea is going to look like if he's the main guy option. Who has the ball bringing up the...
We're going to get a chance to see that next
year. That's why I think a lot of people are kind of excited to watch what Shea turns into next year. What Baze looks like with actually starting minutes. What he looks like for a full season. What Dort looks like in his year 2. Yeah. It's crazy to think Dort is a rookie.
He's a rookie.
He just locked up James Harden in the
playoffs. And scored 30 points in the game seven.
Yeah, Dort's amazing, guys. That's probably going to be like the...
Most improved next year. Actually, they don't like to give it to sophomores, but...
It's probably going to be our same. It's just Dort's amazing.
Dort's amazing.
Yeah. Guys, if you want to listen to more of these podcasts, let us know. Go give us a 5-star on iTunes or anywhere else you find your podcast. At the podcast, the Purple Podcast app on Apple, or your, what is it called on Android? It's like Stitcher,
yeah.
Something like that.
Anchor, any of those?
Yeah, Anchor. Go follow us on Anchor.
Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Go. We're sponsored by Pokes Media, which is ourselves. So go follow Pokes Media on Twitter, which is the people that bring you.
The best coverage of all Oklahoma State. We're not quite sure what we wanted to do with this podcast yet.
I think,
frankly, but
yeah, but Monday by Monday there should be a podcast out for Oklahoma State. If you're into Oklahoma State football, then there should be a podcast you can find on Pokes Media. Just go look it up. It's been fun. It really has. It's been good. It feels good,
It feels good to get back in this rhythm. I calmed down since the beginning of the pod.
Yeah.
I was a little bit
kind of nervous. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, it's intense. It's intense. You gotta put out some good quality content for people to come back.
Yeah, because you can't just let them down. I mean, we probably did. Let's be honest. For the first part of the podcast, we were probably...
It was kind of rough, but thanks for sticking along if you did.
Yeah, if you made it this far, you're OG. And any last words? That's good.
Always bring beer to the party. I don't know.
What is that?
I was trying to make it a good